along with our message in the morning that we'll be preaching, centered on the perspectives of the new year. And Brother Josh, he preached about that to some degree. And I think these opening new year, you always have this this feeling of a new slate, a new page. And here we are in the eighth day in this year. How would you assess so far how you're doing as compared to 2022? Was there any change? Was there any consideration to maybe, yeah, this is a new year. This is a new opportunity. I've had a few failures, but this year I'm going to clean up. You know, it's these perspectives I think are good to visit at the turn of each new year and to make a personal examination and set some goals, you know. And I think God is pleased with that because 22 is over. But the Lord has given us a word of instruction, I believe, that we find in Mark. If you turn there to Mark 13, where we'll be camping a little, of course, visiting other places. But in Mark 13, I see this key word that I think God has given us, not just as warning, but as help. A word that gives us direction, a word that gives us a focus. And that word is watch, not what you wear on your wrist, but what you do. Now take notice of this because you're going to see the word four times in just these six verses. So in Mark chapter 13, we'll begin at verse 32 to the end of the chapter there. Jesus is teaching here and he says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And that's hard to understand. Jesus, the Son, being God, why does he not know all that the Father knows? But he's attributing that particular call to the Father, who'll make the call when he says, Son, go get your bride. You're the bride. And when he says, go get him, that's you. That's an amazing thing. Now, neither the Son, but the Father. 33, take ye heed. Okay, so what's that mean, take ye heed? Listen up. Pay attention. He says, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man, so he gives us an illustration here, as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch. That's third time already. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So it is basically all the times of the day. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So now as we talk about these first 8 days, were we sleeping? In light of this new year, a year Jesus could return. So in the beginning of the year, to review with perspective of the year and what God has afforded us, like every new day is a gift, a new year is before us. And we take a few minutes and we look back at the previous year. And how did we do in light of God's eyes? Did we please Him? When we please Him, we enjoy. There's a peace and a joy that's because we've pleased the Father. We've pleased the Master. 37, what I say unto you, I say unto all. So this is for every single one of us. Amen? Excuse me. Watch. A key word. That's what I'm going to talk about. This little bit of a lesson here on this key word. Now, the words that were delivered in what is not here by Jesus at the time, it's the Olivet Discourse. Jesus was answering disciples' questions about the future events. And in light of these future events, he is telling them to watch, to be watchful, to be alert, to be discerning, to be on guard, not to be flippant in our Christian life. See? Oh, another year's passed. Oh, well. Someday I'll be in heaven. It's flippant. God has a bigger expectation than that. While the context refers to the second coming of Christ, then you always should take the context in view in viewing any scripture. The admonition for you and me is, as Christians, is in light of the rapture, we're to watch for his return for his church. Amen. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 15. I think it's healthy to review a couple of portions of Scripture in light of the rapture as we face a new year for the focus and for the obedience to this command of Jesus to watch. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51, this was penned many years ago. It's for you and just as real and alive today for us. Behold, 51, I show you a mystery. I show you a secret, something's not been revealed before. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I can't ever read that without thinking of the many churches have that plaque over their nursery, right? Because we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, 52, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Now, twinkling of an eye, they say they've technologically determined how fast that is. It's quicker than a blink. So, you're not going to get right before God when the trumpet sounds. Don't plan on taking a moment. Pastor Boyle used to say, he said, listen, you get that cigarette in your finger, you're not going to be able to drop it fast enough. You can't change anything when the trumpet sounds. And so what does the Christian look for? The church. The church is looking for the trumpet to sound. We're not, the context of Matthew 24, the famines, the earthquakes, and this and that, that's not what we're looking for. That's for the second coming, see? The trumpet of God, when that sounds, that's what we're looking for, because the rapture, that's the rapture. For the church, it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, what changed? My body. For this corruptible, this body that does corrupt, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? No more victory, because we're not no longer in this corruptible flesh, because we've been changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've sang about his blood. Victory, heaven, this changing, putting on the incorruption is because of Jesus. Thanks be to God. You want to live for God this year? There's some good motive, because you're thankful. You're not going to hell. Hallelujah. By the way, are you sure of that? Be sure. Be sure. The Word of God tells us to be sure. Like to chat, I'd be glad to chat with you, but be sure. 58, therefore. So based on this truth, he's saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. So this encouragement there, based on the truth that the rapture is going to occur, that whatever we do this year, whatever we set out to do, it's not in vain. God takes note of every little thing. But again, the warning is watch now. Watch, and we'll get to that in a minute, but another, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is another place that tells us of this grand event for the church. And by the way, nothing precedes this prophetically in the Word of God. This is the next thing to happen. So hold on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, we'll start there. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Shall not prevent, is not stop them. The old English word prevent means to go before them. For the Lord himself shall descend with the heaven from with a shout. Okay, that shout, that voice, that's the trumpet. And Revelation puts those two together. The voice of God is like a trumpet. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be quite a trip. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That meeting will never end. We'll be with him forever and ever and ever. Wherefore, based upon that, you know, the therefores and the wherefores, based upon what was just said, comfort one another with these words. So we should be comforted. We're going to heaven. Could happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. Amen? So we're thrilled about this, but in light of this word back in Mark 13, Jesus tells us that no man knows the day or the hour when the event will occur. This means that it could be at any time. It is imminent. So the word Jesus gives us in light of his coming is watch. So using this little passage and a few other scriptures we're going to look at, I suggest to you that there are at least three ways that we should be watching in this coming year. And the first one is watching persistently. That means consistently. That means not hot and then cold. Hot and cold. Staying with it. Staying on fire. Staying charged up. Staying faithful, diligent. Not taking gaps. Many Christians have gaps in their Christian walk. Gaps in their Christian Bible reading. Praying. Sometimes very fervent. Even gaps in attendance. Fervent, diligent. Watch persistently. So he gives us this illustration here in, and notice verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. So this man's on a long journey. So he's gone. There's a picture of him. Jesus was here. He's gone. He gives to various members of the household different responsibilities, what to do while he's gone. So everyone has different responsibilities. We have many of the same responsibilities. We're all to study and read, absorb the Word of God. We're all to share the Word of God with people. We're all to pray. We're all to give. There's a lot of things that we are all commanded to do, but there are specifics too. Not everybody is called to preach, to teach, or to sing, you see, in a choir, per se, or play instruments. But everybody has a job. Everybody has ministry, an opportunity, an area to serve persistently, diligently, faithfully. So he gives you these jobs, these responsibilities. He tells the porter to watch. The porter was the doorkeeper. While the members of the household were also to watch for the return of their master, by going about their business, it was the job of the porter to be awake and to be looking for the return of the master so he could alert the others. The church today, the church is the household, and the star, our master is the Lord Jesus. And before he left to go on his long journey to heaven, he gave instructions to the church. Matthew 28. At the end, Matthew 28, the last two verses referred to as the Great Commission. See, in Mark 16, all Gospels have one. And verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And I'm with you always. I'll be with you as you do, as you persistently and consistently and faithfully do what I've called you to do. But with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is an instruction to the church. It's a command to the church. He gave us a job to do, the household. And so we're to be busy about that household. The epistles give us even further instruction. Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we could spend an hour here easily going to all the various places, but just picking out a few here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So it covers it all. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So these instructions, these duties, these responsibilities that Jesus has given, God has given to us to be diligent about, faithful, persistent in, while watching for his return. He didn't come in 22. Is he coming in 23? He could very well. You can't say he's not coming in 23. You say, well, he hasn't come before. Well, he's only going to come once for his church. So that one's pretty important. It's not a hit or miss type thing. It could be 23. And we're to watch as if it is 23. Be prepared for it. And be busy. So, because we're created unto good works. He has ordained that we should walk in them. And so that's what he wants us to do. God has also given to us abilities and spiritual gifts that are to be used to further his kingdom. What is it, gifts he gave you? What talents did he give you? What wisdom and experience did he give you? What are you doing with what he gave you? Maybe you haven't been giving out all you got. What are you waiting for? What are you reserving it for? I know. You reserved it for 2023. This is when you're going to just employ it. All that God has given you, your spiritual gifts, your talents, your knowledge, all that you can impart to help others. 2023. You don't have 2022 anymore. And you don't have 2024. So step ahead of ourselves. We don't know that we have tomorrow. That's the truth. Watch. Be persistent. God gave you what he gave you because he wants to use you. There's nothing better than be used. On the sidelines, football, you know, the guys that are sitting on the sideline, they want that coach to look at them and say, I need you to go in. That's what they want. Why? They want to be used. I didn't come here to sit on the bench. I want to play. I want to get out there. I want to be used. I want to make a difference. We're to have that desire. I want to make a difference in 2023. God, you've given me this, that, whatever. And I don't know why, but I've reserved it. I've not been employing it. The pandemic sure put a crush on a lot of things. The devil thought, this is what I'll do to slow down that progress of the church. And maybe get a lot of his kids, his children, to get used to being comfortable, feet up. Some even watching services on the church. This is going to be my... Now listen, we live stream and it's good purpose. Because there's some that can't come. What a blessing it is for them. Week after week, they have no church, but at least they can observe this and that. But if you can get to the house of God, my goodness, be in the house of God. I see a thing texted yesterday. Watching church, and I don't have this perfect, but watching services online is like watching a fire in a fireplace crackling on your TV screen. At Christmas time, do you do that? There's some things you can put like on YouTube, whatnot, and it plays Christmas music on your TV, and you got this big crackling fire there. It's kind of neat. But he said, just like that. He says, you can see it, and it looks nice, but you're not warmed by it. It'll go to church. Amen. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God. I don't know what you did in 2022, but you got 2023. Diligent, persistently. Watch persistently. Stay with it. Be faithful. 1 Peter chapter 4. Did we go there yet? Well, let's go. What's holding you back? Me. Thank you, Dean. That was perceptive. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. Look with me. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. Speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So every man, you've received gifts. Every born-again believer has received at least one spiritual gift besides all the talents he gave you to be used of God. Anyone and everyone can be used of God. And, you know, if you're the preacher, the teacher, fine, do this, do that, whatever you do. But do it in the strength of God so that when it is done to the glory of God. So the glory is not in man. Man wants to receive glory. He's wicked. He's selfish. See? And there isn't a soul here that says, I've never done that. Well, yes, we all have. Some to varying degrees. God help us to be humble people. So that whatever God has given to us, we use for the glory of God. He gets all the glory. Faithfully, persistently. So, Jesus has gone away. He's given us jobs to do. And we're to do them as if Jesus were coming back soon. Even today, Jesus says, watch, for you don't know when I'm coming, right? Back in Mark 13, 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. He's talking about his return to snatch us away. You don't know what it is. Why would he say watch and be ready? Because he wants you to be ready. Amen? I remember we lived out in Hollis. We lived in Gorham for a number of years. That's where we were living when we got saved. Started coming to Grace. Then we moved. I don't know why you went further, but well, it's where I was working. So now it's 22 miles away, so you got a plan on departure time. You're not going to use two cars. We're a big clan, but we'd squeeze in. And Daddy said, we're leaving at this time. And we couldn't squeeze that too much. We were Sunday school teachers, and we met with Pastor in the morning before Sunday school. I think that was really just a reason to get us there, to make sure we were all there in time, because we'd chat a few things, but we'd pray. Then we'd go to our classes. We'd be there. We'd be ready for when the kids come. You know, it's an awful thing for a parent to come with their child to Sunday school, and there's no one in the Sunday school class. There's no teacher, you know. As same thing, like in the nursery. You got your baby, you go to the nursery, and nobody's there. No, we're to be there. We're to be ready. And when it comes to getting in the car, they had to be ready because we're leaving at this time. I think that's important. I think we train our children to learn there are time frames, you see. I think I left one time. I left one there. Do you remember that, Sarah? Was it you? Was it you? Oh, it was more than once? It escapes me. And for those 2.5, 3 hours, they would be dying because Daddy's coming home afterwards. Now, I wasn't an ogre. Our parents taught us diligence and timing and this and that, responsibility. I think it's important we have the responsibility to do that with our children. Don't let them be happenstance, you know. That's not how life is. I'm getting off track, I know, but Jesus wants us serving, being diligent, not being happenstance. Staying with it, man. Be faithful. Be dependable. You can count on, God can count on you. Others can count on you. I think that's what God wants. And you don't know when he's coming. So to watch Jesus talks, the watch that Jesus is talking about is to be a persistent one, a constant concern, a diligent effort. It would be tragic for Jesus to catch us napping when he comes. And that verse, that's scary, 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, I'm telling you right now, he's going to come suddenly because he's already told us that. So I'm not going to give you any other warnings, he says. I'm not going to ring your alarm bell. I'm not going to give you a snooze button. They'll grant you 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes. But I'm coming. You say, why? You know, why can't we just be allowed to just serve and what without this warning? Because he knows humanity. See? I could do that with the children. But their humanity, I know their humanity. They're just like I was. They needed help. Watch is a helpful word. Or watch persistently. This napping or sleeping isn't to be thought of as literal. If we're caught in our own pleasures when Jesus comes, we'll be napping. If we are, all the time. I mean, God wants us to have pleasures. He does. But be faithful. But if this is all you're doing, if we're worrying all the time about our own well-being when Jesus comes, we'll be napping. You're ineffective. Get out of it. Get over it. Get with it. If we delay our serving the Lord Jesus, thinking we have plenty of time, we'll be napping. Plenty of time. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get with it. A lot of times I've said that in my life. It's not right. You finally get to it and you say, wow, why didn't I do that before? It feels so great. Get that done. Taken care of. If we are concentrating wholly on our business, our families, our comforts when Jesus comes, that's napping. Jesus says, I'm warning you, lest I find you sleeping. He knows our humanity. So he's trying to help us. These are helpful words. You know? We're to help our children be prepared for life. And Jesus helping us prepared for life eternal. When Jesus comes, we shouldn't be surprised. We should be expecting him because he told us to watch for his coming. So what we do today and each and every day consistently, persistently, should be based on the fact that we know of a certainty that Jesus could come today. So it should be about his very important business. And actually, that's why God delays the coming of Jesus, so that we can accomplish more of his work. 2 Peter 3. See, I believe this. You say, well, you know, he keeps talking of his coming, but he didn't come. He's coming. But his timing is perfect, not your timing. And there's a reason for his delay. You know, see if I can put this together. The meaning of the word Methuselah. When he is dead, it has come. What a funny name. Well, names had meaning. The flood came after Methuselah died. Well, why is that significant? Why not some other one in the list of the patriarchs? God also recorded that Methuselah was the one that lived the longest. Longest recorded, 969 years. That's a long time. What's the point God was making there? The flood's coming. But I'm giving you as much time as possible. So if Methuselah died at 500, boom, there's 469 years more that God gave that they might respond and turn to God. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He proved that in Methuselah. To usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason that Jesus has not returned yet, that the Father has not said, go get your bride, is because of his love for the souls of men, which we're to be busy about, you know? Busy. Persistent. So, we're to watch persistently, also to watch perceptively. As we watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus in 2023, we're to watch perceptively. Now, look at Titus, if you would. Titus 2. The clock is ticking. I knew it was coming. I should have been ready. But we're dragging here somewhat. Titus 2, verse 11 to 13. Notice, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. To all men. God's grace available to all men. They are without excuse, Romans 1 tells us. He has made himself, his presence, his existence, his God Almighty, his Godhead, his power and authority manifested to all mankind. So it's available to all men. 12, teaching us his grace, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this grace that saved us is not limited to just saving us. It's the grace that God continues to use in our life. And one aspect of that is teaching us. The grace of God teaches us. And it teaches us a number of things. To deny ungodliness. What's ungodliness? Which is anything that God wouldn't do for himself. If God, Jesus wouldn't do it, it's ungodly. He wouldn't do it. It is anything that is not fitting or true of God. That would be ungodly. Ungodliness is also anything that we do without God. That's a step up, isn't it? To consider. It's ungodly to do something in your own strength. Why? Because God doesn't get the glory. You do. If what we are doing is not dependent upon God or approved by God, is ungodly. Well, how do you know what's ungodly? Well, you're going to stay in the Bible. So in the Word of God, your mind is guided by what is right, what is not right, what God is godly, what is not godly. It fuels and provides more equipment for the conscience that God has given us, to give in every man. We're to deny worldly lusts or desires. These are basically anything that serves the flesh or fleshly appetites. Also, it includes anything that we do to excess. Some things are done so much, not bad, but they're so excess they take away from what we could or should be doing for the Lord. It has to be balanced. It needs to be perceptive. Persistent and perceptive. Watch that way. The grace of God not only teaches us to not deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but also teaches us to live soberly. To be sober is to be serious. If we live soberly, we will live seriously. That doesn't mean we can't have a sense of humor. It means that we will take our commitment to God seriously. It's great to have fun. We poke fun a lot around here. It's great. I think it's wonderful. I think it's part of family. Have fun. Enjoy. Enjoy one another. When it comes to things of God, be serious about it. Serious about our ministry. Serious about our time with the Word of God and on our knees and prayer, share with God and faithful in our giving and all. Serious about it. The serious Christian practices the things of God on a continual basis. Persistence as part of his daily walk with him. Not only do we live soberly, but righteously and godly. Our activities should be right in the eyes of God, not right in the eyes of man, because I think it's okay. Is it okay with God? Would Jesus do it? That's a good way to live. Perceptively, perceiving with godly eyes what's right and wrong. Our activity should be the things that God would do if he were here and in our situation. Additionally, we will be perceptive enough to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Should be looking, watching, looking, watching. The one who is looking for the wonderful coming of the Lord Jesus will be perceptive to live as if he's coming back at any moment. When you expect company, you clean the house. When you expect Jesus, you clean your life. And you keep it clean on a daily basis. You look forward to his coming, so you live as if he's coming today. That's easy to say. Another thing to practice, to live with that expectancy. Somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. They didn't come today. What are you going to do about tomorrow? Well, they said they were coming. Do you let the house get a mess? No, you keep it clean because they're coming. You keep looking outside. Are they coming? You keep things right because he's coming. Jesus said, I'm coming. Watch. Watch persistently, watch prospectively. And one last thing, quickly. If you go back to Mark, to our text, notice in verse 33, Mark 13:33, it says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So notice that watching and praying go together. They go together. Jesus commands us to pray. We're to pray. Praying solicits God's help for the victory over temptation, because he's coming. I don't being caught in sin. Praying keeps us spiritually sharp, because he's coming. I want to be perceptive. I want to be persistent. These things, praying. Praying accomplishes God's purposes through us. While you're in prayer, he's affecting you. You're not just dropping down the this is what I need, this is what I need. You give him your grocery list. But in the process of true prayer, you're communing with him. And we're to watch prayerfully. Lord, I know you're coming. Help me today to be persistent and perceptive as I seek to serve you, because you could come today at any time. Wisdom for 2023 is the word watch. That's the word Jesus gave us. Amen? All right, Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your fatherly, loving, protective warnings to help us. May we be a focused people. May we enjoy this life you've given us and enjoy the ministries you've allowed us to participate in. May we be watchful. May we be sober. May we be serious. May we be mature, that we might accomplish in this year things you want us to accomplish. And may we give you all the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.